Joining us live now, the person responsible for prosecuting most criminal cases in the district, U.S. Attorney Jeanine Pirro. Thanks for being here this morning. We want your take on the initial weeks here of this crime emergency in the district.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, it's good to be with you. And last night there were 87 arrests, which is a huge number. And I think it's an indication that what we continue to do is to try to make D.C. safe for all of the people who live here. It is incredible what has been happening in the last, certainly less than 30 days. We haven't hit 30 days yet. But the number of guns that we've taken off the street, it's 111, I think, plus four. So I think it's about 115. Those are fewer weapons that are on the street that can be used to maim and injure and kill other people. So this has been a tremendously successful operation. And as the prosecutor who tries all crime in the district other than crime involving young, the younger individuals in the district, I am very satisfied with the effort that I think will make and change the safety landscape of the district.
Do you have a sense of what the end game for this looks like? Is there a specific time frame or a certain goal that you want to achieve with this law enforcement surge before you can say we're ready to send National Guard troops back home?
Well, you know, the president has made this part of his priorities in making D.C. safe and beautiful. And that, of course, is up to the president. The president has indicated initially the 30 days, which is statutorily permitted. But, you know, it's his call ultimately. But I think that his decision and his purpose in doing this is clear. D.C. has been an incredibly violent city. The number of homicides that occurred here last year and in 2024 are unbelievable. We had the fourth highest homicide rate in the district here in the country in 2024. And last year, guys, I got to tell you, I looked at the number of individuals who are killed, the teenagers. We had 26 of them. So it is a very, very difficult scenario for the president to try to break. And I think he's doing it. I think he's also sending a message that law enforcement is, number one, going to work together. And number two, we're going to make the city safe again. People are going out to restaurants. People are going out for walks. You know, we're tired of hearing about an intern, my office is handling this, being shot going out at 10:30 at night, shot and killed. Another ex-DOGE worker getting the hell beaten out of him, a broken nose, a fractured skull. I mean, this is crazy town. And it's all about law and order for the president. And his goal is to make it safe. And he'll decide when we get to that point.
Well, we know your office is getting support from 20 military lawyers. Is your office prepared to handle this surge in prosecutions?
Yeah. You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up because I spoke to them yesterday. We got them from the Department of Defense, most of them JAGs. And we are inundated here with criminal cases. The office has been severely understaffed. I don't know what happened here, but, you know, we were short 90 prosecutors when I got to this office and 60 investigators and paralegals. So, you know, I appealed to the president and I indicated to him that if we're going to be effective, it's not just the arrests, we've got to prosecute these cases. And there are hundreds and thousands of cases that are pending in the Superior Court, which, you know, doesn't have, I think they're short 15 judges. I mean, think about that. So the president is working on putting judges on the courts, putting more prosecutors in there. And yesterday I was part of the welcoming and the training session where we're going to teach them exactly what they need to do to prosecute these cases. So it's a full court press. I mean, between the prosecutors, the police, making sure that the public is involved in this. And I think as we go forward, the public will become more and more involved. And, you know, this morning I'm doing a press conference on a takedown that we had early this morning at 6 o'clock, where we're also going after some gangs and some crews. So I'm very excited about this. And I think that making this place beautiful and safe is going to be a welcome thing for the people who live here.
Now, we've heard the president be critical about cashless bail. We know he wants that gone. He signed an executive order to end it in the city. Can you point to data that shows a high number of people who were released pre-trial who were then rearrested? Explain to us how getting rid of cashless bail is going to help lower crime in the district.
Well, I'll tell you, unfortunately, I cannot give you those numbers. I'm kind of inundated in terms of what I'm doing. But what I can tell you is this. When someone is arrested and they are released and they are rearrested and reoffend, the message to the criminal is there is no accountability. There is no consequence to committing crime. And so we see, you know, in most cities, in most areas, you know, you've got 2 to 3% of the criminals who are the repeat offenders. And when they're let out again and again, and we have the additional complicating issue of the fact that if you're 14, 15, 16, 17, you're pretty much not responsible for any crime, certainly if you're 14 or 15. And we're looking to lower the age because these kids are being recruited now to commit crimes because they go to family court if they're even arrested. But if they're arrested, it doesn't matter, they're released. And therein lies the problem. And it makes, look, when the people and the citizenry lose faith in the government and its ability to protect them, then they go inward, they don't come out, and they're fearful. I plan on being the United States attorney here, I plan on going into some of these housing areas, finding out where the crime is being committed, making sure that I work with my federal and the MPD police, and making sure that we go after the drug trafficking, the gun trafficking, working with other U.S. attorneys. This area is in desperate need of a real charge in terms of, you know, making sure that we make arrests and that we prosecute and bring people to justice, because unfortunately, I think that's been very wanting in this area.
Well, we also wanted to ask you about making sure there's enough adequate jail space if more people are being detained before trial, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there is sufficient jail space. Look, we can send people to Baltimore, to Maryland. You know, as a United States attorney, I mean, we have partners in other areas and other districts where they'll be able to house them. I mean, I'm not worried about that. You know, what I'm worried about are those offenders being out in public and causing other people, you know, the law-abiding citizens, to feel like they're in jail because the criminals are out. You know, it's time we kind of reverse that trend. And we will, and the president, make no mistake, will make sure that there is sufficient jail space.
Talk about your relationship with the D.C. Council. You have asked them to reconsider some laws that you considered detrimental to your ability to fight crime and to hold younger offenders accountable. Do you think that you will get the changes that you want? Have you heard from members of the council that they agree with some of these changes you want to see?
Well, unfortunately, you've got the D.C. Council, which I believe has been complicit in allowing criminals, young criminals, to reoffend. They have something called the Youth Rehabilitation Act. And what happens is you have a judge, if someone is under the age of 25, we go through the problem or the process of, you know, arresting and investigating and convicting and getting an individual to the point of sentencing. And the D.C. Council has passed a law pretty much saying, you know what, if you're under the age of 25, we're not going to require that the judge impose a mandatory minimum period of incarceration as required by law, because we think they're young and we need to take care of them. So I think it was last month, a 19-year-old goes on a public bus, a family's on this bus with an illegal gun, takes the gun, shoots another individual in the chest, and but for the grace of God, that individual did not die, and we convict him. And you know what the judge does? The judge gives him probation, says go to college, probation for a couple years. I mean, it's the just having the illegal gun alone should be enough to send him to jail. He was 19, okay? And this Youth Rehabilitation Act, as far as I'm concerned, is coddling the criminal, and it's nonsense. And then they have something called the Incarceration Reduction Act, which if you're convicted before the age of 25, let's say you're a serial murderer, you commit 3 murders, and that's not unusual, okay? So they can apply, and the judge has the right to release them after 15 years, irrespective of what they've done. The judge doesn't even look at the offense and says, you know what, they were young, we're going to let them out. This stuff has to stop. And the last thing, they want to seal the records. They want, after 5 years, we go through the trouble of getting a conviction in a very difficult area to get a conviction. And what they want to do is seal those records. So what does that mean? That means if I'm an employer, I can't find out if this guy who's applying for a job with me has stolen from his last employer. I can't find out. Let's say I have like a tennis camp or a bowling area, and I want to hire someone to assist and train young people to bowl or play tennis or whatever. They can't find out if this person is a pedophile. I mean, this is nonsense. This is truly nonsense, and it's contributing to the belief that you can get away with anything, and it's contributing to the reality of crime being out of control in the district. And that's why President Trump has come in and said no more. Thank goodness for President Trump. We'd be in a downward spiral here.
Well, Jeanine, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate you coming on with us. We'd like to talk with you again in the future.
Well, I got to tell you, your questions were great, and I'd love to talk to you in the future. Have a great day.
Thank you. That is the U.S. Attorney for D.C., Jeanine Pirro.